Ctesias wrote that he immolated himself and his many wives in his palace as it was being attacked by invaders. The story inspired Eugène Delacroix's painting in 1827, which showed the ruler reclining on his bed, surrounded by voluptuous nude women. And Byron wrote a tragedy about Sardanapalus. So this idea of a luxurious king and lots of women would be portrayed to a much wider audience. In the first century BC, the Greek historian Diodorus wrote of Semiramis, a queen who supposedly ruled Assyria for 42 years, built the city of Babylon, and had a new lover every night, whom she killed the next day. A busy woman. This account has no basis in fact, but Voltaire's 18th century AD tragedy popularized the story for a wider European theater-going audience. And of course, these ideas would be very evocative to those going to watch a tragedy for the evening. Diodorus was one of the authors who described the city of Babylon and its hanging gardens, watered with mechanical devices that kept it permanently lush and green. And this would be even more striking as it was in a land surrounded by deserts away from the rivers. These descriptions have inspired artists to create magnificent paintings of lush gardens draped from walls of a huge city. No archaeological evidence for the gardens has been discovered, and it is possible that the entire concept derived from a misunderstanding or miscommunication between cultures. These stereotypes reflect much more about Greek, Roman, and European ideas of foreigners, luxury, and gender roles than any aspect of Mesopotamian culture or history. But they are important to understand what ideas the early explorers of ancient Mesopotamia had in mind as they set out to discover the past. Early travelers, as early as the 13th and 14th century, had noted the remains of impressive mounds and had even discovered artifacts on the surface or from through some small digging project that they engaged in. These artifacts showed that there were earlier civilizations, and this piqued the interest of later explorers. Ottoman control of the region, combined with its wild and remote terrain, made exploration at any large scale much more difficult. One of the early great figures in Mesopotamian archaeology is the British explorer Austin Henry Layard, who lived from 1817 to 1894. Layard was headed for India to join the civil service when he was encouraged to take up an expedition to explore the region of the northern Tigris River. A French emissary, Paul-Émile Botta, had already uncovered some portion of the Assyrian city of Nineveh a few years earlier, but Layard conducted a much more extensive exploration. He discovered a gigantic palace made of stone with colossal relief sculptures showing the mighty Assyrian king crushing his enemies. Layard's discoveries of the remains of the great palace at Nineveh, which we will return to as we discuss the Assyrians, brought these unknown eastern lands to the attention of the West. The gigantic sculptures of half-animal, half-human figures were displayed in the British Museum in 1847. Thousands of visitors were intrigued by the strange figures, which seemed so foreign in comparison to Greek and Roman sculpture, which was also on display in the British Museum and focused much more closely on the human figure. Layard himself promoted the study of Mesopotamia and helped to popularize it with his highly illustrated publication of his excavations. The language of these lost cultures was deciphered at about this same time. Another British officer, Major Henry Creswick Rawlinson, who lived from 1810 to 1895, spent several years studying a large 5th century BC trilingual inscription of Darius I of Persia, who had carved this into a mountainside at Behistun in Iran.